This is Dale Cantrell, pastor of the Marineville Holiness Church. Thanks for joining us for this look into God's Word as we try to gain a better understanding of God's will for us. Many of us at the Marineville Holiness Church feel like God would be pleased with us sharing our faith with our community and surrounding area. I feel like if I knew the cure for cancer and did not share it with other people, it would be like the four lepers of 2 Kings 7:9 who proclaimed, "We do not well to hold our peace." I hope that those in the hospital, nursing home, rehab, or wherever that can't get to where the Word of God has been delivered in person could benefit from this message. This sermon is not intended to replace getting to church and hearing the Word of God in person. I want to give you a special invitation for the first Sunday in April, which will be April the 3rd. We're going to have Brother Frank Duval, pastor of the Crown Point Holiness Church of Crown Point, Indiana. He will be helping us starting Sunday, April the 3rd, and going through Wednesday, April the 6th, with a mini revival. Brother Frank is a dynamic person. He's a great speaker, and I'm confident that you'll really enjoy him if you'll just let's come and see him, listen to him. My text today is from Romans 12:2 in the King James Version. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You are who you are and what you are because of what's gone into your mind. You can change who you are and what you are by changing what goes into your mind. Paul, in this scripture, moves from dealing with the body to dealing with the mind. That's the root of all our problems anyway. When we get the mind to think as it should, then the body will obediently follow along. This matter, conquering the world, there are two steps that must be taken. We're commanded not to conform to the world. It means to fashion or to shape. It literally means to mold. We're not to allow this world to squeeze us into its mold. It's made clear by a list of some of the works of the flesh listed in Galatians 5:19-21. There are many other things that could be added to that list, but this is sufficient. We are to avoid being squeezed into the world's mold. We must be different, and we must remain different. I remember when my kids were saved, but other kids were doing it, or get to do that, or get to go there, or whatever. And kids always want to ask why. God doesn't want his kids to ask why. He wants us to say what. We're commanded to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The word transform gives us the English word metamorphosis. It describes the transformation a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly. Did you know that the caterpillar and the butterfly are the same creature? What happens when a caterpillar enters the cocoon and later emerges is the part of the insect that resides on the inside is allowed to be manifested on the outside. There's nothing about the caterpillar when you look at that worm that gives you a hint that it could turn out and turn into a beautiful butterfly. How's this accomplished? With us, it's by surrendering to the will of God, by filling the mind with the Word of God. A person may know the Bible backwards and forwards, forward and backwards, and be like a walking concordance, but that doesn't mean they're a spiritual person. Knowing the letter of the Word is far different from living out the spirit of the Word. In 2 Thessalonians 2:2, he says that you be not shaken in your mind or troubled, neither by spirit, neither nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of the Lord is at hand. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." With a good mind, you can actually think yourself into and out of situations. You can make yourself ill with your thoughts. And by the same token, you can make yourself well by the use of different and healing types of thought. There's a quote I love by Eleanor Roosevelt. It says, "Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people." Washington Irving said, "Little minds are tamed and subdued by misfortune, but great minds rise above them." A mind once stretched by a new idea never gains its original dimensions. Think about it. With every willing pair of hands comes a free mind, a mind that you can choose which one to have. Positive thoughts affect everything and everyone. My mind is the gateway to the rest of me. We need that spiritual helmet to protect the rest of us and everyone else. If your thinking is wrong, it will affect everyone around you. And like a virus, it can literally make you and others sick. The thoughts you were given and fed as a child has made you what you are today. Being constantly told that you're inferior, or dumb, or clumsy, or whatever will make you try to fulfill and complete the prophecy that's been given about you. Like changing out or closing a closet, replacing the old with a new, change out your old thoughts and try out new ones. At first, it may not seem to fit and be uncomfortable, but like a new pair of shoes, if you give a little time, they will feel great. We come into this world and immediately we're programmed, good or bad, by our caregivers. They tell us and set up our computer whether we can or can't, if we're valuable, special, or worthless. If you started off with a mind or a program that was defective, you have to reprogram it. If you keep thinking what you've been thinking, you'll keep doing what you've been doing. And if you keep doing what you've been doing, you'll keep getting what you've been getting. I heard that the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same things and expect different results. There has to be some cleaning out before there can be some pouring in and going forward. This is important, and it takes time. You just can't run through it. It takes time for a caterpillar to turn into a butterfly. It takes time for a tadpole to become a frog. It takes time for a man to turn into a good husband, a good dad, or a good friend. It takes time to learn when to shut up and when to hold your peace and when to speak up. When I've married people, and when I say I pronounce you man and wife, I may pronounce them, but that doesn't make you have a good marriage. The children of Israel didn't build houses in the wilderness because they knew they weren't going to stay there. So stop building houses and build tents. Mark 2:21-22 says, "No man also soweth a new piece of cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred, and new wine, but new wine must be put into new bottles." If you're waking up in the morning miserable, change something, rearrange something, move something. Jesus didn't die for you to be miserable. I'm not going to die here like that. This is not all God has for me. It's usually not the big things that keep us from being happy. I've noticed it's the small things. Hurricanes and tornadoes get more coverage, but termites do more damage. Usually we're not dealing with a major illness or life-changing event. It's a little inconveniences, like not being able to find your car keys, or like a husband not picking up their socks, even though the wife is asking him to for the last 20 years. There have been disagreements over squeezing the toothpaste wrong. How we handle little things will determine the kind of life we will live. Some people have been used to making everything such a big deal and blowing everything out of proportion. It comes natural for them to overreact and make everything a big deal. Keeping things in perspective. Getting stuck in traffic is not such a big deal. You don't have to get your seat or favorite parking place. Just get over it. Because we have certain strengths in certain areas, we expect everyone else to be like us and have the same strength, but they don't. If we're not careful, we'll spend our whole lives trying to fix people. Our assignment is not to fix people, but to love people. A lot of times we're waiting on other people to change when God is waiting on us to change. People don't change by nagging, harping, criticizing, complaining. That doesn't motivate people. It just takes away all their enthusiasm. So if you've got a loved one and you've been trying to change them, by that, it doesn't help. Someone had sat in my favorite seat, "I'm stressed out because somebody's talking to me about me at the office. Newsflash, someone's always talking about you. You just don't know it. This too shall pass." We must decide not to make a big deal out of today, out of something that's not a big deal. When I'm uptight and stressed, I get out of tune and out of sync with God. Just like you have to retune a piano on a regular basis to have a good sound, you have to retune yourself on a regular basis to have the best harmony in your life. If you have a problem, it's good to put it in a category. Is it a 5-minute, 5-hour, or 5-year problem? If you burn toast, you can't unburn it. Just make some more. Our level of maturity can be seen by how much it takes to get us upset. If we're stressed, then we are not passing the test. Paul said in Acts 20:24 that none of these things move me. He's saying, it's no big deal. I'm not worried about it. Say every day, I will not make something a big deal today that's not a big deal. You'll not only be happier, but your relationships will come up to a higher level. You can change days, calendars, change your bed. You can do anything but if you don't change your mind, nothing happens. Until you change your mind, it's the same old thing with a brand new date. Make a permanent decision. Don't make a permanent decision over a temporary situation. This too shall pass. We talk so freely about other people's stupidity that seemingly we have amnesia about our own. We become arrogant about our own situation. You have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You have to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to change my clothes or my address, but I am going to change my mind. The only difference in you and the person you admire is the perspective they have on life. If you're disciplined in your perspective, you will be victorious in your outcome. You can go back to your old life and be dumb junior, dumb the third, or dumb, but it won't be a happy life. It's like the font on your computer. You can change it, but if you don't change the default, when you go out of the program and then go back in, your font will change back to the default. That's the way most people live their lives, because their default hadn't changed. Their situation hadn't changed. They'll be happy for a little bit, and then they'll go back to their default, which is whining, complaining, and being unhappy. So when they're in church or with other people, they can get that going. But when you get back home, you go back to default over and over again. Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth? When Jacob lay down on the pillar of stone, the stone represented Christ. And if you'll put your mind on Christ, he'll make things happen. He'll change things. I've got friends, some dear friends that's in wheelchairs. They're in physical wheelchairs. That's sad. It is very sad. But what's the saddest thing to me is the people I see that's in spiritual wheelchairs. What is your wheelchair? What's keeping you, hindering you, and keeping you from accomplishing what you need to? What's your excuse? Oh, you able-bodied person. Some people have used up their mental capacity, their hard drive, on insignificant things that they didn't have any room left over for God or anything important. If only, you might say, if I weren't so old, so broke, so saddled by my mortgage, if I only had less pressure in my job, a family that understands me, there's nothing I can do. You're not too old. The very fact that God woke you up this morning, he was saying to you, I've got something else for you to do. Life should teach you not to think like the average person. You should learn that nothing, absolutely nothing, is absolute. Your life is entirely what you decide it is. The universe starts in your head and it spreads out into the world. Change what happens in your head and the universe changes. Symbols are potent. In America, this Liberty Bell conjures the concept of freedom just by thinking of that single image. In India, the Taj Mahal shows us at a glance the depth and extravagance of human love. In San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge is a testament to engineering ingenuity that speaks volume. Let Christ be a symbol for you that if he can do it, with his help, we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can achieve whatever you set your mind to. You're not any different than anyone else that's achieving great things. The people that's achieving great things don't have any special powers, any magical gift. They don't have any copyright or patent on happiness or success. You just create your own happiness in the face of tremendous trials. The people that's successful are no stronger or smarter than the average person. The Bible said we could be more than conquerors. I thought about how can you be more than a conqueror? When you conquer death, even a doctor is going to die. He may can help you in that department, but he hadn't conquered it completely. But when you live for God, you have conquered that aspect. Inner strength, how important it is. All of us are blessed with an inner strength buried inside us deep somewhere. It's just that most of us don't get the opportunity to use it as much as we need to. If there's hope in the future, there's power in the present, and there's lessons in the past. If you know, back in the old days, people died and they said it was hardening of the arteries. But the worst condition is hardening of the attitude. You need a checkup from the head up. A good brother told me one time, he said, you are what you eat. And at first I was thinking he was talking about the natural. But I understood what he was talking about. You are what you eat. You become just like the physical person becomes what they eat. If they're heavy or thin or whatever, the spiritual person does the same thing. We need to detox our minds. We need to fast from negative thoughts, starve our doubt. We're not what people say we are, but what God says we are and what God says about us. We need to talk to ourselves, say positive things. And we need to get our thinking lined up with God's thinking and word. For most people, there's a negative recording playing over and over and over in their minds from negative programming that happened so long ago. Thoughts can make you sick or well. One of the greatest discoveries of mankind is that we can change our attitude and change our lives. It's that simple. It's not complicated. What God has blessed, no man can curse. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Then he will get the curse, not you. I'm reminded of a little incident that happened at my work. I was a technician for a company, and I had a supervisor. There was another supervisor, and we were standing together. And the supervisor, which was not my supervisor, he started giving me a hard time. And this brother from the church was working. There was another supervisor. He told that man, he said, you know Brother Dale's a preacher, don't you? Well, it didn't impress that man any. And he said, yeah, I know it. And so the brother from the church said, you know, if he wanted to, he could ask God to bless you. And it was like a light bulb went off in that man's head. And he said, yeah, he could, couldn't he? So the brother from the church, he just paused for just the right amount of time. And he said, or instead of asking him to bless you, he could ask the Lord to do something else to you. And I don't know what that man had in mind. I don't know if he thought I was going to turn him into a bullfrog or whatever he thought, but he didn't bother me anymore. So be careful how you deal with a child of God. Bitterness. We really need a detox from this killer. We get sick when we dwell on the wrong things. Somebody hurt us. Negative things affect our attitude, self-image, confidence, and then it eventually affects our relationships and they suffer. Make guarding your mind a top priority at the top of your to-do list. We need a mind-feeding program as well as a natural one. Starve the toxins. Release any bitterness. Let any go of any disappointments. You have the strength and grace to get well in your mind. Make a decision right now to be happy. Treat this day as a gift God has given you because it is. Detox your mind on what other people have said about you. When people have written you off and suggested that you're finished, say to yourself that you're anointed. If God be for us, who can be against us? Don't let negative people deter you from your mission and destiny. Feed your mind faith and starve your doubts. If you can get your mind lined up with God's thinking, there's nothing you can't do. Have thoughts of victory, not defeat. God is never defeated. I am blessed and no man can curse my destiny, only God. Cleansing is necessary that takes place through the Word of God. If you want to try to cheer yourself up, try cheering up someone else. That works every time for me. Zig Ziglar said he used to teach that we are where we are because that's exactly where we want to be. Then one night he got lost and he knew he wasn't where he was because it's where he wanted to be. He was there because someone gave him the wrong directions. Maybe you're not where you want to be. Maybe you've been taking and following the wrong set of directions. The moment you catch a glimpse of your own potential, you can become highly motivated. That's when passion, where passion is born. You must take step one to take step two. You can't take step two to you completed step one. Anyone you see who is extremely good at what they do, when they first did it, wasn't that good. If you're on a train going south and you want to go north, what do? Ask the conductor to stop the train and turn it around? No. You just get on a different train. Disgruntled people in the church seems to want the church to turn around instead of getting on a different train. Get a different attitude. Nothing can stop the man with a right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. It's what Thomas Jefferson said. God help you if you go into the rest of your life with the same mentality, with someone laying up in the hospital begging God for an opportunity you've got right now. There were people last night that begged God to get them to this day. They didn't make it, but you did. And what are you going to do with it? William James said, "The greatest discovery of my generation is human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind. As you think, so shall you be. By this process, you can actually remake your life." What made Jesus such a profound teacher is that he used something you can't understand to teach you something you can't understand. Your own mind will keep talking to you, and it'll keep taking you to the same old places. That GPS will take you to the wrong place. If you want to go to a different place, you have to have a new mind. Some place you can get to by walking, some by car, and others you need a boat, plane, or helicopter. So figure out where you want to go and what kind of avenue you need to use to get there. To go to a new and better place, you need a new and better mind. You need some aches and pains and challenges to get the email from heaven that God says you're not going to live forever. And with that comes a panic and an urgency and a commitment and a focus. You decide that there are some things I cannot allow to bother me because I'm too close to the last days to allow it to affect me. When you finally understand that every day, every second is a gift from God, then you begin to use your moments, your precious moments, with discretion. You will have to make a decision and a stand about what you will and will not lend your attention and energy to. You don't have time for foolishness and pettiness. One of the things that makes you realize you don't have time for it is you look back over your life and see waste in your past. And you say, "Lord, if I could just do it again, if I had known then what I know now, I would have dealt with it so much differently. Why did I let that worry me? Why did I respond to that in the first place? I missed so many opportunities. So, Lord, I'm going to do what the Bible says and redeem the time. I'm going to capture and use the time I have left." You can give two people the same opportunity, and it's so amazing how one will take it, another will waste it. They just don't react to it in the same way. I enjoyed talking to you about this today, about the mind. May God wonderfully bless you until we meet here next time at the same time. My prayer is that we can all make it. Please phone, text, or email any comments to Dale Cantrell at 256-508-4410 or email dalecantrell2@gmail.com. That's DaleCantrell, number 2@gmail.com. Meridianville Holiness Church is located at 1285 Steger Road in Meridianville, Alabama, 35759. But any notes or letters should be sent to 278 Priest Lane, Hazel Green, Alabama, 35750. If you do not live near the Meridianville, Alabama area, but would still be interested in attending the service near you, then contact me, Dale Cantrell, and I will get you to the nearest church location closest to where you live. If you would like to come visit us, and if you would want to just stay through the singing and then need to leave, we won't feel bad at you at all. We will try to make you feel as welcome as we know how. May God bless you until next time.